Well, grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. Amen. Mark Oestreicher is a youth minister in La Mesa, California. And he has a collection of nativity sets, at least 77 in all. But he has two rules for a set to make it into his collection. First, it has to have been made intentionally as a nativity set. And second, it has to be weird. Weird. So, for example, he has one where Mary is a salt shaker, Joseph is a pepper shaker, and baby Jesus is painted on the plate underneath them. And the wording around the plate says, "The reason for the seasoning." Another set has Joseph as Frankenstein's monster, Mary as his wife with a tall black hair with the white streaks, and baby Jesus is just a tiny version of the monster. There are some where the people are carved out of Spam meat, or butter, or soap. There's one where all of the characters are rubber ducks. One where everyone is made out of the ingredients for s'mores. And one where everyone is a zombie. One of his sets that went viral a few years ago was called the Hipster Nativity. Mary and Joseph are leaning over baby Jesus, taking a selfie. The shepherd is standing there checking his phone. And the three magi are standing on Segways with Amazon boxes under their arms. And finally, there's one where all of the characters are made from tampons. That one's really bizarre. Now, I don't imagine many of us have weird nativity sets like this at home. The ones we have are probably plastic or ceramic. And they show Mary and Joseph standing over baby Jesus, the shepherds with their cute little sheep, and the magi holding their gifts. But what would you say, though, if I told you this typical nativity scene is really bizarre? This iconic image that we are so used to has something very strange about it. And the strange part is the magi. Of course, I know they don't seem very weird, right? Your set may show three kings at the manger, each holding a gift. Some of them might even be kneeling in front of baby Jesus. It's all very proper and reverent. But first of all, the magi weren't kings. This scene that I just read from Matthew chapter 2 never calls them kings. The only kings mentioned are Herod and Jesus. And the text never tells us how many of them there were. It says there were three gifts, the gold, frankincense, and myrrh, but there could have been a whole bunch of magi. The only reason we think there are three is from that We Three Kings song. And the text says that when they arrived, they entered a house. Given the amount of time it took them to travel, it was a lot later than that first Christmas morning. So they weren't at the manger. Jesus was a small boy by the time they saw him. And that's why we celebrate their visit on Epiphany, January 6th, the 12th day of Christmas. But the weirdest part is that these magi were there in the first place. Having them visit Jesus should seem as weird to us as a whole nativity set made out of tampons. It's just not right. But why? Well, think about who these magi were. They weren't royalty. They were astrologers. Now, astrologers are different than astronomers. Astronomers are like the people who work for NASA or who do legitimate scientific studies of outer space. Astrologers, on the other hand, are like the people who write horoscopes. They are not, quote, wise men. If we read the horoscopes in the paper, it's more for entertainment value, not because we think they have life-changing wisdom in them. So that means these magi were more like magicians in the bad sense of the term. Notice how the word magi is even in the word magic. They were people who tried to lead others away from God. For example, in Acts, Paul encounters one of these magicians in Cyprus, and he really lays into it. We hear this. But Saul, also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Spirit, looked intently at him and said, "You son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, full of all deceit and villainy, will you not stop making crooked the straight paths of the Lord?" Right? These are not the kind of people that good, upstanding Jews like Joseph and Mary would want to hang around. Nor are they the kind of people you want coming to your house to see your kid. And yet, they're there. They aren't there because they've crashed the party. They aren't there because they're trying to lead Mary and Joseph away from God. Instead, they're there because we observe the star on its rising and have come to pay him homage. These magi, these outsiders, these weirdos who studied the stars instead of studying God's word, they were included. God spoke to them and led them to Jesus, because Jesus is born for them too. But if we think about it, that can really be unsettling. Because think about those people today who you would consider modern-day magi. Who are those who you want nothing to do with? Maybe even putting a wall between you and them. Who are those who lead people away from God? Who are those who seem so other to you that you can't relate to them? The promise of Epiphany is that God loves them too. Of course, quite often, we don't want those people to be included. That makes God's love so inclusive that it's threatening. God loves the mass murderers and the child molesters and the sexual criminals, not because God approves of what they've done, but because they're still God's children. Dr. Grant Scarborough is a physician at Mercy Med in Columbus, Georgia. In a blog post, he wrote about being asked to deliver a eulogy for a man he knew, a man who was a sexual criminal. And he honestly wrote this: "I have found I'm uncomfortable with the depth of grace and the depths of man's sin. Jesus' grace extends to the worst. Jesus' grace extends to the ugliest sin I can imagine. Sex offenders receiving grace? I'm uncomfortable. I have four daughters. I have a shotgun." But on the other hand, God's love is so inclusive that it's also really comforting. Because God's love is for you, too. Jesus was born for you. I mean, compared to the people of the first century, we live in a pretty weird culture. We live in a part of the world that they didn't even know existed. We have customs that are very different from theirs. And we even have technology that we carry in our pockets that would seem to them like magic. And yet the light of Christ reaches us too. We are the magi. We are the outsiders who are included. Or, to put it another way, the light of Christ is for you who feel like a stranger in your own home, who can't relate to the people you're related to. The light of Christ is for you who work in a job where people take advantage of you and rarely say thank you. The light of Christ is for you who deep down still feel like that kid in the cafeteria who can't find a place to sit, or who continue to feel like you get picked last for the team. Jesus is for you too. The light of Christ reaches across space and time to all people. Jesus' light shines in all of our lives, like a blazing star illuminating the night sky over all of us. And so in one sense, the presence of the Magi in our little nativity scenes should be shocking, because even they are included. But in another sense, it's also really comforting, because even they are included. Even we are included. Even you are included. God's love is for all of us. And that is definitely a reason to celebrate. No matter what your nativity set or your life may look like. So in the name of this one who shines in all of our lives, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.